3, 2, 1.
What will the world look like 10 or 20 years from now? The Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a peek. And we can't wait to show you what's coming. Subscribe now.
After a rough ride, Peloton is trying to get back in the saddle, this time without CEO John Foley at the helm.
There are a lot of questions about Foley's decision-making. He was the one that had the final say on decisions to expand manufacturing capacity, to change the cost and pricing structure, and, you know, other company decisions that investors feel have been all over the place.
But will the overhaul mark a turnaround for the business? Plus, how SoftBank is pivoting after a deal with NVIDIA falls through. And the Oscar nominations are in. Who's leading the pack? It's Tuesday, February 8th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. SoftBank, the Japanese investment and technology conglomerate, is planning an initial public offering of chip designer ARM. SoftBank CEO Masayoshi Son made the pitch for the IPO hours after a deal with chipmaker NVIDIA fell through, as we reported this morning. SoftBank is now looking to pursue a public listing of ARM by March of 2023. Our Heard on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher has more.
The public market for chip companies right now is strong. You know, you have dynamics like the shortage that have reminded people how key and valuable semiconductors are. So chip stocks have been a very strong performer over the last 12 months, 5 years, if you chart it out. It's been a great sector. The valuations are pretty high right now. So in that sense, the market's not bad for this kind of thing to go out.
And we'll have more on this story on our sister podcast, Tech News Briefing, tomorrow morning. The Justice Department says it has recovered $3.6 billion worth of digital currency that was stolen during a hack of cryptocurrency exchange Bitfinex in 2016. Officials say it's the department's largest ever financial seizure. Authorities also arrested a couple for allegedly trying to launder the proceeds, though they are not charged with carrying out the hack itself. Officials say the investigation is ongoing. Apple is launching a new feature that will allow businesses to use an iPhone to accept Apple Pay, contactless credit and debit cards, and other digital wallets without any necessary hardware. The Tap to Pay feature will be made available to payment platforms and developers to integrate into iOS apps, launching first on payment processor Stripe this spring. This could cut into the business of companies like Block, formerly Square, which makes contactless payment hardware. Over the past year, auto dealers have been jacking up the prices of new cars above the sticker price amid tight supply. Now, Ford and General Motors are cracking down. Ford's CEO has threatened that dealers could lose out on supplies of future models. GM said it would withhold shipments to, quote, a small minority of bad actors. Automakers set a suggested retail price when they ship cars, but dealers aren't required to adhere to them. The U.S. trade deficit hit a new high in 2021 as American consumers spent heavily on goods from overseas, like computers, game machines, and furniture. The Commerce Department said the deficit in December grew by 1.8% to a seasonally adjusted $80.7 billion. And the full-year deficit rose 27% to just over $859 billion, another record. And the pandemic has led to a smaller baby bust than expected. Provisional data from the CDC shows there were about 7,000 fewer births in the U.S. through the first 9 months of 2021 compared to the same period in 2020. Monthly births did begin to show steady gains beginning in June of last year, but Americans continue to have babies at historically low rates. Coming up, Peloton is shaking up its leadership. Will the pivot pay off?
What then will the future reveal?
There's one thing we know about the future. It's being built now.
We all have a stake in the future.
The future.
The future.
The future.
And the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a glimpse of what's on the way. I'm Danny Lewis. Join us as we dig into how science and technology are shaping the future.
For that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
At the start of the pandemic, Peloton's exercise bikes and virtual classes soared in popularity when gyms were closed and people were spending more time at home. By early 2021, the company's valuation was in high gear at around $50 billion. But then there were key missteps, like long wait times and miscalculations of consumer demand as the course of the pandemic shifted. By last week, Peloton had shed nearly 85% of its market value. In its earnings report today, Peloton said its subscribers had fallen another 3%, worse than investors' expectations, and the company expects revenue to be down nearly 9% this fiscal year. Amid these bad numbers, Peloton announced it would eliminate thousands of jobs and that CEO John Foley would be stepping down. Shares jumped and closed up more than 25%. So, what's next for Peloton? And will the new CEO be able to turn it around? Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal mergers and acquisitions reporter Kara Lombardo. Hi, Kara. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Kara, let's start with the latest news. Can you give us more details about Foley stepping down and what this means for the company, as well as the broader overhaul that Peloton is looking at now?
Well, this morning, Peloton announced that it's replacing its CEO, it's making changes to its board, and it's cutting a whole bunch of costs, including laying off around 2,800 people. It also canceled plans for a splashy new factory in Ohio and announced other changes that will be on the horizon. And this was really Peloton's answer to what was a big question going into today. Its valuation had dropped to around $8 billion from $50 billion as demands for its bikes slowed, and investors were waiting to hear what is it going to do about this.
What's happening to Peloton instructors and its content? Are there any changes there?
The company has been very clear in saying there will be no change to its roster of instructors, many of whom have cult followings, and that its content will remain the same.
Now, an activist investor, Blackwell's Capital, had been calling for Foley's firing. What is their reaction to his announcement that he's stepping down now?
Blackwell's very quickly responded to this morning's news, basically saying Foley should leave the company entirely rather than just shift to the role of executive chair, which was announced. Because in that position, you typically are still pretty actively involved in running a company, so they want him uninvolved. They also reiterated their call for the company to sell itself. A lot of, I think, investors, including Blackwell's, obviously, when things go wrong, want to point to who is in charge and how did they let this happen. So there are a lot of questions about Foley's decision-making. He was the one that had the final say on decisions to expand manufacturing capacity, to change the cost and pricing structure, and, you know, other company decisions that investors feel have been all over the place.
Kara, Peloton was a huge success story during the height of the pandemic when more people were forced to stay at home. What happened here? Can you give us some insight into the course this business has taken in recent months? What went wrong?
Peloton was partly a victim of where it was in the company life cycle. Here is one of the hottest startups out there, and it goes public in 2019, just months before COVID started. And then as we were all confined to our homes, they were having trouble filling orders fast enough. And they began expanding the company as if that was the new normal and just part of the upward trajectory that they were already on. But then, of course, they were caught completely off guard when demand cooled more recently. We've all been getting out more, doing other things, and the company has been bleeding cash. And then adding insult to injury, it became a TV punchline when it had unfavorable cameos in both the Sex and the City reboot and the TV show Billions, right around as its stock was tanking. Both shows connected characters' use of a Peloton with subsequent heart attacks.
What can you tell us about Peloton's new CEO, Barry McCarthy? What's his experience and what do we know about his vision for turning Peloton around?
Barry is a well-known and widely liked Silicon Valley executive. He was the CFO at the streaming service Spotify, before that at Netflix. So these are major positions he had. And his specialty is subscription businesses, which will obviously come in handy at Peloton, which, you know, has a subscription model for its classes and its content. And one of the lessons I think Peloton has learned in the past year or two is that there's much more money to be made in subscriptions than in the equipment itself. So I think that's part of the rationale for bringing Barry on.
Kara, Peloton is also being courted right now for a possible takeover. What can you tell us about that?
We reported late last week that since Peloton shares have dropped, potential suitors, including Amazon, have been examining deals for the company. And, you know, this comes after Blackwell's argued that it thinks Peloton would be better off as a piece of a larger company that has more resources. It threw names like Nike and Apple out there as possible suitors.
So what does the future of this company look like? What are you hearing?
The company is trying to answer that question for investors right now. It's saying with this plan that we announced today, we're going to cut costs, we're going to shrink ourselves, and over time, we're going to emerge stronger and better than ever. But if that doesn't happen, and you know, you could argue how long they have to prove that out, there's a good chance it will have to consider a sale. So we don't really know how the story unfolds yet, and that's why I think people are so captivated by it.
That's Wall Street Journal mergers and acquisitions reporter Kara Lombardo. Kara, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, the 2022 Oscar nominations are in. Leading the pack is The Power of the Dog. The psychological Western scored 12 nominations, including a Best Director nod for Jane Campion, the first female director to be nominated twice, and Best Picture, giving Netflix a shot at its first ever win in the top slot. In overall nominations, the sci-fi epic Dune came in second with 10, followed by the period drama Belfast and Steven Spielberg's West Side Story revival, both with 7 each. But our entertainment reporter John Jurgensen says the pandemic continues to upstage Hollywood's biggest night.
So this is the second year in a row that the Oscars are going to capture a pandemic year for Hollywood. And they really show how splintered the film community and the film world has become, especially in that time. I mean, there have been a lot of pressures on Hollywood in years past, but the pandemic has really kind of put all that stuff up front. And so not only did the viewership for the Oscars themselves drop dramatically last year, they lost more than half of their viewers from the year before. But we're also seeing this kind of snapshot of different film releasing strategies, whether it's on streaming or in theaters only or a mixture of the two. And we're also seeing just the fact that a lot of the films in the running here are probably movies that, you know, most people haven't really seen before. West Side Story was one of the big nominees, but it really kind of more or less failed at the box office. It's sort of like an alternate view of the movie world through the Oscars. And that's been true for a long time, but the pandemic has really kind of put that into stark contrast.
The 94th Academy Awards are scheduled to be held on March 27th. We've got the full list of the nominees at WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.